Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you are listening to the Moist Listen to Wrestling podcast that you've never heard of. This is the podcast for smart marks, so anyone listening is in the wrong place. Learn to sell. My name is Matt Knight of the Checkmate with Bishop and Knight podcast. I'm joined by the two worst co-hosts on any podcast, my good friends Roadhouse and Beef McGinnis. Beef McGinnis, you watch more non-mainstream than Roadhouse and I do.
We're talking the ROHs, the New Japan Pro Wrestling,
right.
And he also goes to a lot more shows.
Right.
We both have children, so we don't get that
bills that come with that.
Yeah, we our lives are a lot busier.
100%. It's not a downplay.
No, not at all. And that's thank you for that, because those are the words that I wanted to use.
I wish I could.
my question out of the independent, the ROH, and on the other side of it, is there anybody else who has a better entrance that you can think of, or better entrance music?
So personally for me,
and can't wait for this one,
might be a bit of a bias, a guy that works for AML and was most recently the main event on AEW Dark, a man by the name of Tim, used to go by Timmy Lou Ritten, of the Gymnasty Boys with White Mike.
Oh, I love the Gymnasty Boys now.
He comes out to Hustle and Motivate by Nipsey Hussle, and every single time I want to rip my dick off.
Because
when it hits, it's A, I know it's Tim.
Yeah.
And in all honesty, this man needs to be on television yesterday.
Daily.
Like, he is phenomenal.
He is a great wrestler.
Yeah.
I don't get to do a lot of the shows, and I don't get to do a lot of the indies and stuff like that. So here's a little snippet of it.
We can talk through it.
Yeah, absolutely. But I actually, I watched his recent match, and I was so impressed that I went back to see if I could find some stuff on YouTube.
Yes.
And in my opinion, he did great on, it was Dark or Elevation?
Yeah, it was Dark, yeah.
Okay, he did great on Dark, but that was a snippet.
Mm.
This dude is honestly somebody who should have been discovered 10 years ago.
Yes, for
sure. In my opinion.
He is a phenomenal wrestler, and he's also very humble. So they actually have AML's world champion is Caprice Coleman, who is a announcer for Ring of Honor. He does the commentary. I mean, this, first of all, he's 41 and looks like he's 22.
Yep.
So, Jesus Christ.
Phenomenal shape.
Yeah, guy's amazing. But he called him... Myron Reed and Chris Bayou.
Yes.
All of them together at one of the shows in Kernersville. Honestly, talking about the guy that cried when CM Punk came back,
Beautiful moment.
When I saw Tim come on Dark.
Yeah.
I legitimately shed a tear because I've watched this guy, like,
you have that connection.
During COVID, this man has put his body through the ringer. I mean, he looks phenomenal. And to come out the other side and be doing what he's doing is just, like,
phenomenal.
Wow.
So on that note, I know we've talked about our mainstreams, our not so mainstreams. Let's talk local.
Mm.
Let's talk what we have. So for those of you that don't know, we are based out of North Carolina. So we do have a couple of different options to go. We do some of the more local. I know there's obviously some Charlottes and some Raleighs. We're not going to tell you exactly where we're at, but where we're from, we have our AMLs and our Firestar Pro Wrestlings is what's closest.
We don't have to say exactly where we're from. We're in Winston-Salem.
Yes, exactly, yep. Exactly. I'm cool with that.
The 336, the Trefo.
Trefo.
You don't have to be afraid.
So
we're very nice people here in the Trefo.
Trefo. So I'm a bigger Firestar Pro Wrestling fan, and that's not a knock on AML. That's just that... That's what I know. I've been to more Firestar Pro Wrestlings. I know some more people in there. I know on the other side, Beef McGinnis over here, he's an AML guy. He is all in on the AML. Tell me a little bit about AML.
Well, see, that's the beauty about it is that they're very
intertwined.
The coach there for AML, Josh Gary, actually used to coach at Firestar.
Right.
And now Cozone actually hosts training sessions at AML.
Well, if you and just so you guys know, if you don't know who LeBron Cozone is, look this guy up. I mean,
he's also been on Dark. He's had
a phenomenal match.
Oh, he is amazing, man.
One of the best sellers that I have seen in the ring. He can sell a move like no other.
Not only that, just his in-ring presence, like his the way he walks, the way he presents himself. Like, I don't know how this guy has not been more mainstream.
Mm-hmm. I think he's too nice.
I do too.
There's only been one.
I'm not saying that because, you know, I know him, I've met him, I've had conversations with him. I'm saying if you take all that other bullshit out and you just look at his in-ring ability, it's phenomenal. Now, I will say he's a phenomenal guy, very nice guy, very humble. We'll give you the shirt off his back, have a whole conversation with you. And that might be what's holding him back, is the fact that, you know, he is such a nice guy. But if you just go back and look at this guy's in-ring work, there's no reason he should not be signed somewhere huge. Mm. What do you think on this, Bishop?
Phenomenal dude. Roadhouse and I went to a Firestar Pro Wrestling show. They put on Facebook. Was it Facebook Live?
Yeah, it was because they were going to have fans, but it was during the COVID era.
He was incredibly welcoming.
Yes.
Given we had a little bit of inside track information, we knew a couple of guys that were in Firestar Pro Wrestling and at the time were working into the AEW thing. I'm not going to name drop, but
I already did. It's okay.
I'll name drop the one you didn't, with Mr. Marcus Cross.
Mm. Phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
Dragon Ball Z.
Yes, sir. Yeah,
cool gimmick. Cool gimmick for the indies, sure. Especially. Everybody was super welcoming when we were there. There weren't a ton of fans, but the people that were there, once the show got going, it was absolutely amazing. We were into it. It was so intimate that, like, I thought one of the wrestlers was gonna kick my ass, because I was like, he was a heel obviously, and I was shouting heel shit at the heel, and I was like, well, he was 300 and some pounds, he's probably gonna beat my 166 pound ass.
Well, I'm so glad you said the word intimate, because that's exactly what it was. That was the word I felt. It was, I mean, what, maybe 30 people there? And that's like
including the
it.
Announcers.
Yes.
So you're talking about the old school.
Yes.
So
yes.
We went there and it is very tight.
It's beautiful.
Very intimate. They had I believe it was like a street fight between him and TDT, and we had to stand for half of it because they were basically murdering each other where we stood. But like you said, amazing seller. The way that he sells a move is just like that. Yeah. That's what you want in wrestling. Like
the weird thing, and I'm going to plug myself here. The crowd was smaller than when I wrestled for AML.
My dude.
That's right. You're looking at the turd right here.
I hate you.
Yeah.
So now, I mean, you know, we've given our thoughts on LeBron and how great of a guy he is, and the Firestar Pro Wrestling side of it, which, if you've never checked it out, you don't follow him on Facebook, please do, because they put on quality stuff. But I want to transition into more of a Beef McGinnis thought process, because this is my AML guy, and, you know, I've met Tracy. Tracy's a phenomenal guy, too. In fact, Tracy, he does a lot of things, and I've actually had conversations with him about being in some of his commercials for his business, business that he owns. Tell me more about the AML experience. Tell me more about, give me the insight, because I know that you've been there. Give me the who you feel.
Matt Knight here. Funny story. In my professional career, Tracy almost got me fired from my job. I used to be a manager at a store on a local venue here. And he was coming around handing out tickets, and I thought it was just some random solicitor because of his top hat,
And
I'm like, what the hell? And he's like, you know, I run wrestling promotion. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. He's like, oh, you're gonna talk shit? No, dude. And I talked wrestling to this guy for 6 hours.
Oh yeah, he's amazing.
I'm not exaggerating the 6 hours, but like, because I would look down, I was like, look, we're on camera.
Yeah.
And they're going to ask why. I was 100% commission sales at this point. Ooh. They're going to ask, what have you been doing for 6 hours,
ooh,
Mr. Store Manager?
Ooh.
I've been doing a business deal.
Talking to Tracy. Lot
I've been doing a business deal with this guy, and I've got tablets set up. I've got cell phones set up for everybody who's in his promotion.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, AML, man, it's absolutely amazing. Like you said, Tracy's an amazing guy.
100%.
The way that they run their shows is phenomenal. Like, he likes to joke, like, I don't like to start later than perceived. They're really phenomenal. I mean, I've been to all the shows since they've ramped back up from COVID, and have yet to be disappointed. I mean, the people that they bring in, they brought in Cardona for one of the shows. They brought in Chris Bay. They brought in Myron Reed. I mean, they're bringing in guys.
Big guys.
The next show that they're having, they're bringing in Buddy Murphy.
Yeah,
like, I mean, come on, bro. Gastonia, North Carolina.
They have Buddy Murphy coming up, and he's about to sign with Impact.
Yeah, he's with Impact. Well, they also have Shane Taylor, who is the Ring of Honor six-man champ.
So, timeout. Is it confirmed Buddy Murphy is Impact?
All but. It's as confirmed as the week and a half before CM Punk showed up on...
Yeah. So, does that mean that we're going to get that Forbidden Door again with, you know, him using the same mental hospital and doctors and everything as Malakai Black?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Are we going to get that crossover?
Well, I mean, Christian Cage is the Impact champion, and he's not signed with Impact.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Omega is the every other promotion in the world except for WWE champion.
Fair enough. Which he deserves.
I'm curious, for sure. Though. We talk about that Forbidden Door, and I want to come back to Tracy in just a second. You have Braun Strowman, who is extremely heavily rumored. His real name is Adam Scher, from North Carolina, has a Carolina Strong tattoo on the inner bicep of his right arm, if I am correct. He is slated to come on Impact as well. And that's an odd assumption to me, because one of the largest quotes, most bearing quotes, that he had said was he would never wrestle in a ring not owned by Vince McMahon.
Right.
So how do we take that? Do we take it as he got permission, or... is that Forbidden Door a little bigger than we thought?
I feel like he just thought that Vince would never let him go.
Ever.
Because he was so big. And then Styles' tag partner comes in and they're like, wait, there's someone bigger?
Yes, absolutely. So
he did such a great time on the mic with telling everybody that they could catch these damn hands, though.
Yeah.
He could cut a promo like no other. I don't know why they ever let him go.
I mean, that was a little intense, my man Bishop. But hey, well, I feel you.
You know, they call two lesbians in a camping trip fucking intense, but
who am I to say? So my thing is, I think that, like Beef over here said, I think that he never thought he was going to get let go. He was not a wrestling guy.
He's a WWE guy.
He's a power lifter.
Exactly.
Hey, before that, he's a power lifter.
Yep.
He basically was found... in the same quote-unquote sense this new NXT thing is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
He was not indie. He was not anything to do with pro wrestling entertainment or actual wrestling. He was brought in as I am a big, huge, beefy guy. Let me see if I can wrestle.
I think I have an answer for the whole NXT thing. You can educate me on this because I can never come up with the right words. The class of Brock Lesnar, Randy Orton, John Cena, Dave Bautista. What was the independent? Was that GCW?
It was OVW.
That was OVW.
Yeah, that was OVW. The Ohio Valley.
So
yeah.
I think
it had some major people come out of it.
Cornette is the one that was booking that.
Yes.
Yep.
I think that is the new goal of NXT.
Well, that's why they brought Laurinaitis back, because wasn't Laurinaitis the guy that did the whole Florida, you know, wrestling?
FCW.
The
Nexus was the last big thing that Laurinaitis did.
Yep.
And it was huge.
Yeah.
It was his face. You got to think, though.
It was as huge as his stepdaughter's breast implants.
I'd say I don't know about that, but I'll have to check that out for sure.
I mean, I'm just talking about one of the Bella twins. So,
aren't those fake?
That's what I said. I said
they were fake. Oh, okay, I'm sorry, I missed that. Anyways, so you know,
big ass titties.
There they are. I hate you. I don't know. I'm still not sold on the idea. We went off on a little tangent. Back with AML, they have a big show. You said...
When it's the big show!
It's just Paul White now.
I forgot. No more BS.
No more BS, bro.
And that's a shoot. That is a shoot. That's what's called a shoot.
And so you were saying that they have a show coming up. I believe you said tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. We're recording this on Saturday.
Advertise that for us.
What are you excited about for it?
So it's Mass Hysteria out there in Kernersville.
Mass Hysteria in Kernersville. Coming to you live.
I love it.
That was beautiful. Look at the plug there. So it's Caprice Coleman being the world champ.
Caprice Coleman is the world champ.
So So he's defending that title, and Akir Royal, I believe, is the guy he's going against.
Defending his title against Akir Royal.
And, I mean, honestly, like, both of those guys. Akir is probably one of my favorite guys to work in AML personally because of the way that he carries himself and things.
What's his style? What's his style?
He's a big man, you know. He likes to throw people around. Like, he's a big, beefy boy, you know.
Akir Royal, a big, beefy boy.
So you got that, but I mean, match of the night, honestly, again, like we talked about him earlier, it's going to be Tim, because he has the prestige title with AML, which is very unique, because when they hold that title, whoever holds it can later challenge for a world title whenever they want. So they can literally trade it in.
So it's like a Money in the Bank
It's his belt. He can trade that in. Hey, I don't want to defend this anymore. I want the real thing
Who is Tim?
Tim is Timmy Lou Ritten. Infinite Man.
And he's defending against who?
Alex Everidge.
We've got Timmy Lou Ritten defending against Alex Everidge.
So, Tim, again, being the phenomenal guy he is, they went 15 the last match. They went the whole 15-minute, had a time limit draw.
And I don't hate that.
And my man was running from Tim, and Tim did not approve of him running from him. So I feel like Tim's going to be on that ass.
Tim did not approve. Tim will be on that ass.
Love it. Love it. You said you are going to the show, correct, Beef?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, so what is it? You know, for me, AEW is the shock factor and the great wrestling. WWE, every now and then, it's just good programming every now and then. Mm. But what is it about AML that just... My time is now.
Oh, okay? Wait, I've got it.
And his name is John Cena.
Perfect. I couldn't see that. Oh, too far.
Do you think you know me?
I don't.
Wait. I've got it. Do you think you know me? Do you think you know me?
I love it.
That was my best Kenny Omega impression.
So what is it about AML that's really just, besides it just being local and like being accessible per se, What is it about AML that's really brought you in? Because I'll say for Firestar, me and Bishop were speaking earlier, it was very intimate and very, it connected because you are one of 20.
Exactly.
And you felt a part of the show and you felt like you could help the outcome of any match, even though, quote unquote, it's predetermined. It felt as though you had a different stake in each match. So what's that for you with AML? Well,
just what you said. I mean, there too, it's the consistency for me that no matter what, I know if I tell you guys, hey, you should come to this show, you won't be disappointed.
Right.
Because I've never been disappointed.
Nice.
When they're bringing out people like Matt Cardona and Chris Bay, you know that they have these connections. I mean, they've had Cody, they've had Matt Hardy, they've had the current NWA champ, Nick Aldis.
Yeah.
So they have all of these connections, so you know no matter what, and that was going to be a good
show.
That
was during the ecstasy of Ghoul.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, like, with them, it's really the consistency for me. Like, you're always going to get a good show.
And I think that they have a lot of guys that are, I don't like describing them as ex-WWE.
Mm.
I hate that word.
You're he's just ex-WWE.
Well, you know what? He had a career before that.
Exactly. 100%.
Steve Austin worked for WCW. I mean, you know, you gotta...
Jesse the Body Ventura. I mean,
Hulk Hogan was made in Japan and not in America.
Well, the thing is, you could go through a list of every exactly. WWE superstar
that worked
somewhere else, that's promoted somewhere else, that has done movies. They have a list, a dirt sheet of what all they've done. But now that they work for a different promotion or do something like this, they're only ex-WWE guys, and that is not the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not how it goes.
Yeah.
They are ex-WWE guys, but in all reality, they are all independent contractors, and they are all wrestlers. Mm-hmm. I hate the ex-WWE thing.
Yeah,
well,
for sure.
The stigma, and that's one thing that I hate about WWE purists, is they only look at the person and the character that was WWE, not realizing that that is a corporate machine.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at
Jesse the Body Ventura, who owned 37 Basset Hounds when he was living in the Baja of California. He had a side-by-side. He went down and he rescued 42 airplane crashes in the Baja when he owned 42 Basset Hounds.
I love the impression.
You know, you go back and look at that. There's something other than WWE which pisses me off about WWE purists.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Is they don't see anything else, and all that their whole answer is, did they ever beat Charlotte or John Cena?
No, but who cares?
No, I never beat Charlotte or John Cena, but I beat my dick plenty of times.
Exactly.
And you know what? It got more than a three count, motherfucker.
I know, that's right. I don't know. I get the WWE purist. I get the AEW purist. But I'm at that point where can we not just be pro wrestling purists?
I was going to say, I don't agree with you. I'm going to be the dick in the room and just be like, why can't you just like it?
100%. We have it on 5 to 7 nights a week.
You can watch it on YouTube.
Enjoy
like we talked about, what are we going to talk about? Because there's so much wrestling.
100%.
Or why can't you like it and not shit on everybody else who doesn't like it?
Or if you don't watch it, or if you don't like it, just turn the channel.
And that's the beautiful thing right here about this podcast, because here's the thing.
Swanton Pod.
Swanton Pod.
Oh, shit. I forgot it.
Swanton Pod.
Yes. Beautiful. There we go.
There we are.
That's the beautiful thing about this podcast is we are three different wrestling enthusiasts that not only agree with a lot, but, you know, I've had conversations with Bishop and Beef where we completely disagree.
Yep.
But we're wrestling fans, and that's what we are.
And that's the next cooking show on YouTube as well, is Bishop and Beef.
Bishop and Beef. Bishop with a side of Roadhouse.
Bishop and Beef.
In the Roadhouse.
Served at the Roadhouse.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Okay.
That's why they keep me employed. It's the only reason.
That's it. So we're running out of a little bit of time right now, so I do want to hit on something really quick that we spoke about while we did take a break earlier. Those predictions about what you want to see, not per se predictions, but like thoughts. In my personal opinion, I have two people here with me on this podcast, Beef and Bishop, that both have just a beautiful wrestling mind. And truthfully and honestly, I have my own opinions about things, but like booking wise and like being creative, that's not my forte. But the fact that I get to sit with these guys and see a different side and see a different thought process or a different opinion has been absolutely phenomenal. Because just thinking towards like the All Outs, the AEWs, the WWEs, all the different things, I'm able to get a whole different perspective. But let's go on to the fact of what was it? I believe it was you, Bishop, that had an idea that me and Beef just both. I mean, it gave us the giddies because we loved it so much. Tell us about that.
I've always been a fantasy booker.
Right. Absolutely.
In my own mind. And I think that's why I have such a proclivity towards AEW.
That was a big word.
I liked it.
I didn't mean to use it.
I liked it. I liked it.
When I was down in the bar, I had a proclivity for 42 Basset Hounds.
Oh.
I've always been a fantasy booker in my own head, and I think that's what has made me such a wrestling fan, is that I can look back on what early classic WCW did with the WCW, the NWO, the Sting, the Dallas Page, the Lex Luger. And I was just amazed every week by this wonderful storytelling before it became so tired.
And muddled.
And they couldn't do it anymore because so many things got in the way.
Politics. Politics and wrestling.
I had an idea for...
Which is phenomenal.
Oh.
And that's not an AJ Styles shoot at all. Because I think everybody in this room probably loves AJ Styles.
I mean, yeah, how can you not?
Yeah. I think he's one of the best
he's phenomenal.
Wrestlers / sports entertainers
on
the planet.
I thought you were going to go Flat Earther, but...
Oh. Cool.
No, I was going to go with can't pronounce his tag team partner's name before I did that.
Aomos?
No.
I know him all.
Hey, Almost. Hey, Almost.
I almost got him there.
All right, so tell us about this idea.
We're going back to the Orange Cassidy thing.
Okay.
Love Orange Cassidy.
Absolutely. Freshly squeezed, sir.
Oh, yes. The only way.
The Matt Hardy-Orange Cassidy feud was kind of an odd thing for me.
Right.
But after I saw this past week's match between Hardy and Orange Cassidy, and Orange Cassidy landed...
That nose.
Horribly wrong.
That nose is done.
On Matt Hardy's face. I think it was more than a nose, because I have
military experience, and I've sparred, and I've been in unarmed combat, and right. I have had a knee come down on my face about where Orange Cassidy's whole body came down on Matt Hardy's face.
Square.
And I not only broke my nose, both orbitals behind my eyes, had my front teeth shifted forward, and had a bone shard in my forehead that I could move with my finger through my eyebrow.
Wow.
But that looked pretty damn bad.
Yes.
And in the match, you can see Orange Cassidy put his hand on Matt Hardy's head and say something to him to the effect of what I can only guess is, God damn it, I fucked up.
I'm so sorry.
Up.
So Matt, sorry.
Please forgive me.
I'm so forgive me, Lord.
Yes.
My idea with this feud going forward is that there should be a match between Orange Cassidy and Matt Hardy at the Hardy Compound.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
There has been a match at the Hardy Compound in all of the promotions that Hardy has wrestled in, except for AEW.
Mm.
I'm not going to get into the mower of lawns. However, I think his grass should be freshly trimmed.
I hate it.
I can't get behind the drone. I can't get behind all that yet. But I think that there should be a match between them, and Hardy would win by throwing Orange Cassidy into the lake of reincarnation.
One more time for me.
The lake of reincarnation.
Oh, reincarnation. Oh, okay.
Also known as the lake of reincarnation.
Oh, for those of us that can't understand our dialect.
Exactly. Yeah. Sorry for non-North Carolinians.
Yes, exactly.
Then Bray Wyatt, also known as Wyndham Rotunda.
Yes.
His real name?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, that is. Yep.
Correct.
Yep.
Wyndham Rotunda, Bray Wyatt, Bray, whoever the shit he decides to come out of the lake as, I don't think his name should be announced until appearing at a later date.
To be determined.
To be determined. Thank you. That's why I love you, Roadhouse. You're always putting good things in my mouth.
Well, you know, it's my job. Oh.
Peanut M&Ms is what I was referring to. Anyway.
Penis M&Ms?
Anyway.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Oh, peanut. Anyway. Okay.
There's the dock, as good old Stone Cold would say. And Orange Cassidy gets thrown into the lake. The stipulation of the match is whoever gets thrown into the lake of reincarnation wins the match.
Reincarnation.
So Matt Hardy wins the match. The bell rings. The third wall is broken. Wyndham, Rotunda, Fiend, whoever,
Wyatt Jr.,
comes out of the lake carrying Orange Cassidy, who is now a quote-unquote dark character.
What was the name you gave him?
Is the suspense killing you yet?
It is. I'm dude, I'm looking at you, and I know our viewers can't see you.
God.
But I'm looking at you.
I swear I'm waiting because this is the best idea I've ever had.
100%.
Like, ever.
But I'm waiting on you.
Other than this podcast.
I'm waiting on you, and I feel like I'm on the edge of my seat. I feel like this is my match moment, and you're just kind of like slowly but surely procuring it, and I'm just, get to the point.
Bray Wyatt puts over Orange Cassidy as this new dark character.
What was the name?
The Clockwork Orange
Cassidy.
Oh.
And now he's enthusiastic.
Oh, God.
About 25%.
So we're not going 50. We're not going halfway in.
25% of 35%.
Oh, Jesus.
He's awesome. Of the other things he was enthusiastic about.
Wait, time out. Is this a Scott Steiner shoot? You're getting with numbers.
No. So instead of putting his hands in his pockets, he takes his hands out of his pockets.
I don't know if it'll work. Jesus, I don't know if it'll work.
Huge
I don't know.
Pop. Huge pop.
No ripped jeans.
Oh.
Jeans with iron seams sewed into the creases.
What if he went from like the jean jacket look to all plaid?
Leather. What if he went to like old school Orange Cassidy and just rocked like tights? Just came out like a regular wrestler. Like
I hate it.
Who is this guy? It's like poor Bray just ruins him.
He has to come out with half of his face painted like the Joker Sting.
Oh.
And then actually talk, which that's one thing that pissed me off about when Orange Cassidy actually talked, is he sounded like Jake Hager with a less deeper voice.
Yes. Yeah, Jake Hager's not allowed to speak.
Why do you guys think that?
Oh, my God.
According to Wikipedia.
What?
I'm going to leave that in there.
The greatest line ever, though, is Thucker and Thuckatash, Cody, by MJF. Because that line, to me, still resonates.
Oh, 100%.
Anytime I hear Cody talk, I'm just like, Thucker and Thuckatash, Cody.
I would be mad except for the fact that you got Dusty.
Dusty Rhodes.
You got the son of a plumber. I've lived through hard times.
I mean, the fact that Sting did it perfectly was like made my life. Sting, baby, we gonna put some color on your boots, baby.
Yeah, I love it.
God. I felt like Dusty was sitting with me right there.
I feel if you weren't like 48 pounds.
If I wasn't Dusty's left leg.
Yeah, if you weren't Dusty's right calf.
Yeah, I think that's even pushing a big toe.
I'm just right here, baby.
I'll tell you what, baby.
Like, how did Cody Rhodes inherit the most fucked up version of Dusty's accent? Like he comes out and he's like, I've got a lisp and you guys better deal with it or I'm gonna suck Jake Hager's cock because his voice is fucked upper than mine.
Well, and that's the thing. Who the fuck put Jake Hager and Cody Rhodes together?
Did you hear that
the guy with the fucked up mustache that used to put his hand over his heart.
Did you hear that WWE wanted Mike Tyson to do the SummerSlam?
SummerSlam?
Voiceover.
He wanted to do SummerSlam voiceover.
First of all, I know this isn't
SummerSlam. Welcome to SummerSlam, everybody.
It's not wrestling related, but just how the hell is a man so scary as Mike Tyson? Why? God hates him.
I'm going to cut you off. I'm not scared of Mike Tyson after he wore the fucking dad New Balances on AEW programming.
Fair enough.
And the tight-ass fucking Walmart jeans.
He fell asleep almost during the inaugural, what was it that? It was Lance Archer.
Yes.
And Cody, yeah. Like, during the pay-per-view, he's, like, yawning. He was like, oh, no.
Yeah, like, get him off the TV, bro.
Please don't fall asleep.
That's
on
one
my
thing.
TV.
That is the one thing that I will say. And let's finish up with this last thought.
Yes.
The one thing, let's draw a comparison, AEW, WWE. The one thing that I have an issue with AEW programming is their production.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I maybe didn't first notice it, but it was the biggest win with the Chris Jericho...
Five Labors?
No, the cage match with the thrown off the top rope. But there was a lot of sales in that were missed. I see way too much calling matches between wrestlers in AEW.
I catch that as well.
I see a lot of...
But is it on the wrestler or is it on the production team?
That's on the fucking production
team. I agree 100%.
You got to cut from that.
Because you have to be able to call. You have to be able to call. In order for a wrestling match to work, you have to be able to communicate with the guy you're wrestling. And, you know, not all the guys with the longer hair, they have a little bit of an advantage.
Yep.
But, you know, the MJFs, Cages.
I've been ringside in a John Cena match, and he is so damn loud.
Yeah.
With his calls.
Yeah.
And you never see it on TV.
Right.
You never hear it on TV.
You can't. There's 37 camera cuts.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But that's the thing. That's what he's saying.
That's what they shoot it for. Yeah, for sure. No, I agree with you.
And I'm not saying that they should go out and spend a bunch of damn money to do it.
They just have to have the right angles.
They need to fix it.
Yeah.
It's like we said with the Excalibur on, what was it, Rampage, missing the cue for the commercial. For me, that's
unacceptable.
That's killer because everyone is watching.
That's not as bad.
And for you guys to sit there dead silent for 15 seconds... You got to figure that out.
That's not as bad to me because Excalibur is such a great announcer.
He's amazing.
Get rid of JR. Keep Excalibur.
I'd rather you get rid of Chris Jericho because his screaming. I love Jericho, but a four-man booth with Jericho is ridiculous.
Because Jericho tries to out-Jericho everybody else there.
Like, you got Mark Henry, and I love Mark Henry.
No,
but he sounds like
not on commentary.
He sounds like Charles Barkley.
Glad you brought that up.
And that reminds me of Charles Barkley. So
I agree with that.
If you're going to have them two together,
my problem with Mark Henry on commentary is I'm trying to find a way to say this without saying that Mark Henry is slow. The pentameter of his speech is so bad.
He's got to get caught up.
He is so natural in his way of speech that he can't keep up
with everybody else.
That's like this Friday when it was recorded, it wasn't live. He did well with the
keeping
side-by-side
up.
Interview with the tag teams. That was nice because it was pre-recorded.
Yeah.
But when he's live and trying to wrangle everybody
off.
In, I need him to own it.
Or if he interjects a random fact about a wrestler, it's a, God, you're taking too long, yep, because we have to get back to the commentary.
He was trying to get through the card the other week, and it was just like, God, there were two matches ahead of him.
So yeah. here's my thing. I know that really, especially Bishop, bothers you, the calling of the matches and getting to see that.
Well, it doesn't bother me, because I look back on it, and I've sat here and I've thought about ideas for this podcast, and I've thought that we should play a Raw match, an AML, something without commentary, if you will, and see how we do it.
Oh, I'd love to.
And I think I would fail miserably.
Yeah.
Because I look at Nigel McGuinness. I can never just like be quick enough, and because I see in my head his commentary, and I can never just jump up and be like, "Oh, it's a Kusha Garashi!"
Yeah,
like I don't think that I could ever,
God, that was
be
beautiful,
that quick with. I think I'd be like, "Well, hey, I'm dumb. Good old JR.
He done
walked a mud hole in him, and I hope he gets up and walks his ass dry."
Phoenix cuts a 450. You're like, oh.
That was a 720. No, that was a 1080p. No, that's, wait, what's the resolution? That's
Excalibur, a 4K. What's that called? Yeah.
So, but is that and the camera angles, is that your biggest?
Yes.
So I don't watch that WWE is my because of camera angles. Like, it gives me a physical headache.
But sometimes, yeah. Especially when they go with somebody, they're on a close, like a tight shot,
yep,
and
yep,
somebody hits the ring. And you see, and you're thinking about this as somebody who watches this every week, and they shake the camera.
The camera operator obviously
shakes the camera.
$4 trick.
A little personal fact about me, I take antidepressants and ADHD medications as well as something for an inner ear problem. And I'm sitting there on my couch like, God, will you stop?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's frustrating. But so if that... You know, and I agree with the WWE thing. I think that too many angles. Yep. But my thought process is, if that is your biggest uphold on just everything in AEW clicking,
yeah,
wow,
you're missing the point.
Yeah, that's a great thought process. What my point actually is you fix one little,
you're perfect,
little almost, like two tenths of a problem that I don't even care about. I don't. I'm analyzing it
as somebody
who is analyzing it,
right,
because
yep,
we're sitting here,
we're on
this
goddamn podcast, for God's sakes.
Right.
We're analyzing wrestling. As a fan, I'm sitting there like, well, that's cool because I know the inside information,
yep,
on that.
You know,
right.
I just saw him slap his leg. It's cool for me to see Jericho, yep, go, give me the blade.
Yep. Oh, yeah, he took the blade. Okay, cool. Yeah, you guys didn't know they bladed?
Oh, right. Orange Cassidy checked on the other guy because he landed on him wrong.
On his face. On his face.
So to speak to Charlotte, I will commend the way that they handled the Cash Wheeler thing with him
cutting his arm
open.
So he said, what I saw on Instagram, he said he cut it on a hook.
So he tried to jump over the turnbuckles, and when he did, he caught a back of the turnbuckle.
Right.
And it just absolutely
ripped his
open.
Shit open.
And like I said, we're like, you know, Roadhouse likes to flatter about is we were third row.
Yeah.
So all we hear is this grown man who's done this for however long go, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
And you know...
something's fucked up.
Jesus Christ, this man is leaking every... Like, you know, we talked about the Jericho match. That was honestly more terrifying. It wasn't... You know that it wasn't scheduled for him to rip his arm open.
No.
And when he did, you could see...
You mean that wasn't a spot?
Right. You could see the inner workings of the ref going to Dax. Hey, he's not.
He's fucked up.
He's fucked, bro.
Yeah.
And then him going to Santana, hey, we got to figure something out.
We got
to
go this on the fly.
That brain buster, boom, Conan comes in after the match and is like, hey, yo, bro, he's fucked up.
Yeah.
So I commend them on being able to, like, because they've been hounded
go on the fly
for not helping wrestlers that have been injured. There was Alex Reynolds,
yeah,
who caught, like, a concussion one night.
Matt Hardy.
Yeah, Matt. Dude, that still plays in my head, and it freaks me out.
Where he slammed his head
on the
concrete.
Yeah. Yes, because he was out.
Jeff Hardy, when he came in, he was on drugs.
TNA?
Yeah.
Wasn't it Sting?
Yeah, he told him he wouldn't do it.
Yeah, Sting had to basically
quit the match.
Yeah. But yeah, so that was That was insane.
So that whole thing brings me to a weird dream that I had. As pro wrestling fans, have you ever had dreams about pro wrestling?
Yes.
Oh, many a time.
Yes.
I rarely do, but this was a weird one. This was after Kurt Angle's return.
Right.
You guys are going to think that I'm fucking insane when I tell you this. I dreamed that he was feuding with Seth Rollins.
Okay.
They were both in the ring together, and Kurt Angle somehow got the turnbuckle with the hook off of the corner and was beating Seth Rollins with it. Seth Rollins grabbed it, accidentally hooked Kurt Angle around the neck and the spine.
Oh, dear.
And he basically Mortal Kombatted Kurt Angle's spine out, and then, like, the whole crowd Owen Hart'd.
Oh.
Like, it was a whole thing.
So, you know what?
Did you watch this after the Eye for an Eye match?
No, this was way before.
On the note of that,
way before.
Bishop and Beef, here's my thought process. On the note of that, I feel like that's a pretty good lasting impression. That's we have beautiful. A lot of wrestling coming up the next 2 weeks. I say we end it on that, leave that lasting impression, and get some good wrestling in these next 2 weeks.
Absolutely.
Week and a half, 2 weeks, and then that way we have more to talk about. And I think our next podcast, it starts out with our reactions and how we felt about what he just told us as this dream. I mean, because I need to process that before I have a real honest reaction.
I need to talk to my therapist.
It's kind of morbid. We got Halloween coming up. And
I love it.
Being that this is our first episode, if you haven't listened to the Bishop and Knight podcast, I am a huge Halloween fan.
Absolutely.
Halloween Havoc in WCW was one of my absolute favorite times.
They did
times
well
of
last
the year
with
I think they did well
NXT
in NXT.
And Shotzi Blackheart.
Yes.
I loved it.
She... Shotzi, my girl.
Yes. At me on Twitter.
Yeah, I don't have a Twitter. Yeah, I keep talking too much shit to wrestlers on Twitter.
Yeah, you keep getting blocked.
I do. Kevin Nash, Batista, come at me, bro.
That's gonna be a whole different segment. Yeah, we need its own podcast hour just for all the shit you've talked to wrestlers and gotten blocked for.
We really do.
But on that note, I mean, I feel really great about this. I'm really excited about where the wrestling industry is going.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait to hear about your day at AML that's going to be tomorrow. I can't wait to hear about how we see what's going on in the wrestling industry, new debuts, new matches, new matchups. I think that right now, everything we kind of hit everything that we really wanted to talk about, but I don't want to do it all in one. Because I think that we've done great this podcast, but I want to really hook these listeners in, and I think that we have so much more that we haven't even hit this time. I think this is our stopping point to be able to make sure that we see them again. What do you guys think?
I think that's beautiful.
Absolutely. And this was our first episode of The Swanton Pod.
The Swanton Pod.
Thank you all for listening.
I am Beef McGinnis.
This is Roadhouse.
And I am Matt Knight. Stay tuned for more. I thank you all for listening to our first episode of the Swanton Pod. And as Tommy Dreamer sort of said, we are the innovator of podcasts.